You know, it's been a wonderful weekend. I don't know how I feel being the last one coming before you. I probably wish I had let Brother Jason wait until the day. But pray for me. That the Lord will continue to have his way with us. You know, we've been so blessed. This weekend, we've had ministers stand before us who are blessed of the Lord to share his truths. But as we come to this time of day, we're going to leave this little Bethel spot in a little while and go back out into the marketplace. I don't know about you, but it can be very slippery out there. We find ourselves from time to time, I guess, you know that song that we sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you? Sometimes we find ourselves not taking that which we have been blessed with. To partake of these 3 days. You know, if we could just take one of those water bottles and fill it up with what we've heard and just kind of sip on it this weekend, we probably feel like we'd be better off, because we just, you know, this is old nature of ours, we just have that tendency to forget. Forget what manner of people we are. I'm going to read a passage of scripture here for you this morning. Don't ask me where the Lord is going to take me with it. I trust he has put it on my heart to read. But just pray for me, pray for one another, that the Lord will be glorified. Even if I don't have anything to say, that he would be glorified. And if you have your Bibles, it's the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read the whole chapter for you, because I think it's good reading for all of us. And starting there at verse 1, 1 Samuel 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah, probably pronouncing that wrong. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. And that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give them to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be of his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Interesting. Interesting writing here of a picture of God's children. And sadly, brethren, I would contend it's a picture of us as we are today. If we think about this choice that God's children gave them, they could have liberty in him, or they could be servants to the flesh and to mankind. We too, brethren, we can have liberty in Christ Jesus, which has been given to us by his shed blood on the cross. Or we can be slaves to this natural world that we abide in. Now Samuel, even by the word of God, he told them all that they were giving up. All that they possess in a manner that they thought belonged to themselves would be taken away, and they would come under the rule of that king that they wanted to appoint over them. We, brethren, in the hearing of the gospel that has been preached to us this weekend, we understand that we have been delivered out of bondage. We have been delivered out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. We understand a gift that we have been given by the Lord our God in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the sacrifice of that perfect lamb that was without blemish, that was given up, that he gave himself up on our behalf. And he who's without sin that you heard this weekend, he became sin for you and I. That he would receive the vengeance that Brother Eddie was preaching about, the wrath of the Father, would be upon him and not upon us. In that, brethren, we have been given a great liberty in that we've been given access to the Lord our God by the blood of the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. And how we use that access, how we spend that liberty, at times we can find ourselves likened to our brethren of old that we read about here in Samuel. We would easily sell off that which has been freely given to us. and find ourselves again in bondage of our own making and of our own choosing. It's interesting how God's people are delivered, and when and after the deliverance for a season, they forget what manner of deliverance they have been delivered from and seek to go back into that bondage that they have been brought out of. We see it when after the 400 years of the God's people being in Egypt. At the first trial, at the first obstacle, they wanted to run back into bondage because they figured that that little test that they were going through, even after witnessing the mighty hand of Almighty God, and yet that little trial, that little test was just too much, that they'd rather be in bondage than to be tested and tried. I mean, it's likened to that scripture we read a few weeks ago, the parable of the sower. God's little children. Oh, they come into a little trial, a little temptation, a little test here and there, and then they just don't want to deal with that, and they find themselves speeding back out into the world. That's exactly what God's children have done here. And brethren, if we're not mindful, we can leave this little Bethel spot and find ourselves in the exact same position that God's children. Don't get Brother John wrong. This has, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with eternity. We know that's secure. That's secure in the blood of the Lamb. What I'm talking about is the liberty that you have in that, that is given to us on this side of glory. That we, my brethren, be able to enjoy that liberty and not find ourselves in bondage in this life. You know, we think about, we can just take the last couple of weeks of our lives. And we can take this just a thing, we don't need to go back. We don't need to go back months and years. Just take the last, probably take the last couple of days outside of this meeting here of our lives. And how easily, brethren, that old flesh of ours just lust and long to be just like everybody else. We want to be just like everybody. We don't want to be different. We don't want the world to see us as being different. We just want to be just like them. And this is the trap that the people of God fell into back in the days of old. Oh, they didn't want God's judges to judge them no more. No, they want to be like everybody else. They wanted a king to run before them. And what they don't realize is that all of their victories, all of those deliverances that they had experienced throughout all the time came from above. It is God who had delivered them throughout all of time, and they were willing, brethren, to just cast all of it aside just to be like everybody else. And we, brethren, even though the Lord tells us that the world will hate, we want it to love us anyway. That old nature of ours that we just can't tolerate, and we just can't stand being in a gathering in this world, and everybody is worldly, but we know that the land has delivered us from all of that, but yet we find ourselves joining to and being a part of that just to be like them. We don't want to be different. We don't want people to look at us as being peculiar. I mean, what's wrong with you? You don't want to come over here and join us? You don't want to partake of this? We're going to go over here. You don't want to go with us? You think you're better than we are? Oh, that's the one that the adversary loves to use. You think you're better than we are, huh? You church-going people, you think that you're too good. You're too good to come over here and do this with us. And it just plays that on that old flesh of ours. And that old flesh of ours, you know, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be looked upon. That old flesh It wants to go back out there into Egypt and to partake of those things that we have been delivered from. Well, if you like me, you know that doesn't work, see, because there's a reckoning at all of that. For Lola Child agrees. You're not going to be happy in that. You may think that you may think that you're for a season or period of time that you're going to enjoy this and that you're going to have fellowship with the world and get by with all of that and come back here to a meeting and come right back to where you were. It doesn't happen that way, brethren. If you're blessed and the chastening hand of the Lord is upon you, just to kind of that stick that rod and just kind of nudge you back in, then that's a blessing. But if it be like what he's telling his people here, that you will call, that won't be an answer. That don't mean that heaven's not going to be your home. But that means you're going to be stuck out there in that cold world. You're not going to have that fellowship that you had. You're not going to have that closeness. You're not going to be blessed, brethren, to be lifted up into those heavenly places. You're not going to be blessed to feel that peace that passes all understanding. You're not going to be blessed to feel that you're at the feet of Jesus, being able to rejoice and to hear his heavenly word. Brethren, it'll be a cool, cool world for God's little children when they find themselves in those little predicaments. Why? Because they want to be like everybody else. They want to be a part of this world. You see, brethren, we can be in this world, but not a part of it.
Amen.
You know what I mean? This world, brethren, it is what it is. Yes, we've been given many blessings, many liberties, many natural things that we have been given in this time world, brethren, but understand, brethren, that this world was never intended to be the home for God's little children. We're traveling through this world longing for a better home, longing to be in the presence of the Lord. So we don't need to get duped like God's children of old. You see, brethren, when we're blessed together like this and to hear these truths, brethren, you know, the first thing is going to happen is that the old devil's going to come along and says, you know, sister so-and-so, you know, this little thing over there, that's not really what they're talking about. This is okay. I mean, you can do this, but you can't do that. Right. It's kind of like what they did to Eve. Did God say this? I mean, that is just trying to trip you up and take a little bit of truth and wrap a big lie around it. And trip you up, and there we are. Yeah. You know, brethren, the ideal that we can look at our brethren of old, and I mean, we can look at it and says, man, they were foolish. But sometimes what we can't see is that we're just as foolish as they were. I mean, what we can't see is that and the sad part, I guess, is that they weren't blessed to read about themselves. You know what I mean? They're like experiencing these are the ones who experienced it for the first time. But here we go, a few thousand years later, right? We're blessed to read what happened to our brethren of old. And the first natural thing we would say is, well, they were crazy. I would never do that. And you've already been duped. Because if it wasn't from the grace of God, there I would be. And there you would be and that we pray. That is how easy it happens, brethren. You know, we come in here this weekend, we've been blessed to simply rejoice and to come under the hearing of the Word of God. But all that day we have been blessed to hear, brethren, if it's only been for here, then we are in many ways most pitiful. That we have sat here, we have been blessed to have an audience with the great I Am. We have been blessed to sup and to commune with the Lord our God. And if it all it does for us is to bless us to rejoice here, and we go back out into the world and we want to be just like them, then that is a sad commentary for us as God's little children. We must be vigilant, brethren. When Scripture tells us to put on the whole armor of God, we need to realize, brethren, that there is one who seeketh to devour us. There is one who seeketh to snatch away every blessing that you were blessed to receive this weekend. Every truth that you have heard this weekend, there is one who seeketh to take that, to twist it around, and to confuse you, and to cause just enough doubt to get this to this old flesh of ours, that we find ourselves, brethren, not willing or not wanting to endure that test, and find ourselves out in the world naked, so to speak, not being blessed to clothe by that which we have been given. We think about liberty. There is no greater liberty, brethren, than that which has been given to us by the blood of the Lamb. There's none greater. There's no greater place to be than where you are right now. There's no greater assembly to be a part of than where you are right now. I know it'd be nice if we could take all of us, we all could go out of here together, stay together, and form this little cocoon and always be together and always be blessed to be mindful and to remind one another. But that's the job of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. What we need to do is to be blessed to listen, because He will speak. When you find yourselves, this old nature, you are straying, longing to be like your neighbor, longing to be like your coworker, because after all, they seem like they're having such a good time. I can assure you, brethren, that the good time that you're thinking that they're having does not compare to what God has given you this weekend, as you've been blessed together here to be lifted up. Lifted up away from the cares of this world. Lifted up in His presence. Now think about it, really. Think about this little county here in the book of Samuel. They have been delivered an untold number of times by He who created this world. He had a personal relationship with them. He set up a system for them. A system that they had come to the point where they no longer wanted to come under God's rule. They didn't want to have any more to do with it. It happened for a spell. You remember out in the wilderness for a spell? They just started, man, we just get tired of eating this stuff. This is all we're getting. We're just getting this little stuff that's come out, falls out from the sky. I mean, we want something. We miss those leeks and onions that, you know, that we had in Egypt. Well, see, they realized they had to work for that stuff in Egypt. I mean, this stuff that's falling out of the sky, why don't I just go pick it up and eat it? Well, they were in slavery and captivity to pay for those leeks and onions that they were sold. And we too, brethren, we can fall into that trap which says, well, you know, I'm tired of being good. I mean, we may not verbally say that. I'm tired of being good. I need to go out here and be bad for a while. I need to go out here and do something with my friends for a while. Well, first of all, they ain't your friends. Well, once you realize that they're not really your friends, that you don't need friends. You need brethren. You don't need friends in this world, brethren. You need to be in fellowship with God's little children. We need to fellowship with people that are there to help us as we journey in this world. And brethren, those are not what we would typically and naturally align ourselves with. Oh, this is my best friend over there. Yeah, those kinds of friends sometimes, brethren, are friends we can do without. But God's children, we can't do without. We need that fellowship. We need that friendship. We need those that are on like journey with us, who know what we're going through, who we can talk to. We can talk to them about those heavenly things. We can talk to them about these trials that we're having and these trappings that we have in this world. And when they're not around, brethren, there was someone even better we can talk to. Who will hear every word. That is our rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes. He is our rock. He is our Savior. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And you know, brethren, we think about that. God's children wanted to have an earthly king. They already had the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But yeah, no, we want to be like everybody. We want an earthly kingdom. I'm going to say this natural statement here. Because we get so wound up naturally about these things. We think about this country that we live in, which is supposed to be a democratic country, right? Brethren, rather than thinking about the ballot box, think about the Lord and pray to Him. Because I think we all want to be delivered. And once we realize that He is the only one that can deliver us, then things will fall into their rightful place. If you're like God's children here, and you're thinking that some man or some woman is going to deliver you, then you're sadly mistaken. Scripture tells us that all good gifts, all perfect gifts come from the Father of lights. What might be happening to us as God's little children is that we're not concerned with what the Lord would have us to do as much as we're concerned to what we might enjoy naturally speaking. In other words, what's going to make me comfortable in my natural skin? And I'm bent that way rather than look into the Lord. What would the Lord have me to do? You know, brethren, there is but one God who reigneth in the heavens above and this world below. Just one. And there is but one rock who has promised you that I will be with you in every circumstance of life. The bedrock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your anchor. He is your all in all. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Not like me. If I'm with you, you get in a bad spot. Brother John may take off the other way and leave you by yourself. But you see, the Lord ain't going to do that. He has promised you that He's going to be with you in every circumstance of life. Even when you find yourself somewhere where you ought not to be in the first place. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. He is your Lord. We are His bondservants. Precious is He to us, brethren, and precious are you to the Lord our God, who has loved you with an everlasting love. Not because you were worthy of love. Not because you're going to be a good brother or sister, but because it was His good pleasure to love a people. We're just happy that we're recipients of that everlasting love in which God has loved us as people. That's a wonderful truth, brethren. A truth that nobody can steal, nobody can take it away from you. Even the adversary who would seek to do that, he's unable, brother, to change the truth. He can deceive you with a lie, but he cannot change the truth. And the truth of the matter is, if the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, heaven will be your home. Amen. Nothing's going to steal that. Nothing's going to snatch it away. Nothing is going to ever separate you from the love of God. If God loves you today, is it because He's always loved you? He didn't just start loving you. And He's not going to stop loving you, see, because that love is grounded in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we read in that Roman letter that there's nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, brethren, it's been such a wonderful weekend. Part of us don't want to say goodbye. Part of us don't want to go home. But part of us is weary, too. Is weary for 3 days. And we just praise God for each of you. We pray that our gathering has been a blessing for each of you. And we thank God that we're able to say that for 256 years that the Lord our God has showered His mercy upon this assembly. And our prayer is, until the Lord, if the Lord tarries, that He will continue to be with us and to be with those who will come after us. And we would always be given hearts of praise, hearts of thanksgiving. Why? Because we were redeemed people of God. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Precious be His name. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God.